Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversations. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Heather Satterley, founder of Satterley Training and Consulting, co-host of the Appy Hour, and director of education and media at Woodard. Welcome to the podcast, Heather. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Liz, for having me on the podcast. Excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to see you again. You know, since we met all those years ago at Accountex or whatever that was, and had a really nice conversation. Well, we've got a lot to cover.
We do.
Yeah. Now, accounting talent in the U.S. and around the world has been really scarce for years. What are some ideas you have on how to make it better?
So, you know, I've done a lot of thought about this, actually, as we all have. And I have a couple of ideas. So one of the biggest idea or the biggest thing that I think I could offer is you've got to meet people where they are. So people, you've got to think about how people want to be working and what they're, you know, what are the things that they're really interested in for their own lives, and then meet them there in order to attract them to your firm. And of course, what a lot of firms have done, including mine, is, you know, we're totally virtual. People want that work-life balance. They want to have the ability to work when they're at their best and take time for themselves to go and pursue the things that are really interesting to them in other parts of their life. So I think that that's definitely one thing we can do. Some other things that I really think that as an industry we need to focus on is reaching emerging talent. So the youngsters, right? The young people that are coming out of high school and coming out of college, really make them understand that accounting is not what it used to be. We are very technology focused industry. There's a lot of excitement in there. There's a lot of different facets to accounting. And I think it's up to us as an industry to, you know, reach people before they've made that, you know, that impression that accounting is boring and that you're going to be sitting behind a desk all the time. I think that we need to change the outward perception of what we do, so that people understand how exciting it actually can be and how fulfilling and how important it is. So, you know, really going to the root of the problem, the reason we don't have people, the reason we have a lack of candidates is because people aren't focusing on it when they're thinking about what do they want to do with their careers? What do they want to do with their lives? So we've got to start there. So educational programs, you know, when I was in high school, way back when, you know, in the last century, we had accounting courses, and we could be offering accounting courses in high school. We could be having events for young people to understand how exciting it is. You know, some of the greatest speakers that I've seen that have inspired me in my path were accountants. And so, you know, hearing from them and hearing that it's not all about sitting in front of a desk and punching out a 9-key, I think is really important.
That is very true. And one thing that one of the community colleges in New Mexico has done is set up an accounting for movies major, because we've got Netflix studios in Albuquerque, and there's a huge need for people who can do the accounting on those shows. It's a real specialty, and there is a huge need. Yeah. Now, until recently, the business model for accounting firms really hadn't changed. But these days, we're beginning to see a few firms do a few different things. What are some of the things that you are seeing in the firms that you work with?
So the firms that I'm working with, you know, I actually was just on an episode of Appy Hour with Dawn Brolin, and she was talking about this very thing. You know, Ron Baker just released a new book, Time's Up, where he introduces the idea of subscription pricing and relationship. That's what Don called it, relationship pricing for accounting firms, where instead of selling our time and selling maybe just a product like a tax return or an audit, you actually are selling the relationship. You're saying, I'm going to be here for you in all the capacities that I can. And we're going to work together as partners throughout the year to make sure that you're meeting your goals and focusing more on the outcomes of the business and the outcomes and the personal goal, personal, professional, and company goals of the client, mm-hmm. rather than focusing on, you know, the products, right, or the services or the right. hours, and right. making it more of a true partnership. So that's something that's new for us. You know, Ron Baker came out with value pricing model, quite a while ago now. Yes. It was very novel, and now it's like, okay, we've seen a lot of adoption of that. You know, for years I did the Intuit rate study with Intuit, and consistently from when I started doing it, Michelle Long did it before I did. We've seen the adoption of value pricing and fixed fee pricing, you know, ticking upwards over the years. So it really is something that is, I think, an industry adopted concept at this point. So the subscription pricing is similar in the sense that you're billing on a monthly cadence, right? Or on a monthly interval. But the relationship with the client is different. So rather than saying, okay, I'm going to get $10,200 a month clients where I'm going to, you know, pump out right. some bookkeeping and maybe send them a report, you're saying, no, instead of having those, you know, $10,200 clients and talking big firms, instead, maybe I'm going to have 200, $10,000 clients, right? Mm-hmm. And those 200, $10,000 clients, I'm really going to dig in and I'm going to be their true partner. And I'm going to understand everything about their business and I'm going to be available to them on a regular basis. So it's really interesting. You know, I saw Ron speak at the Intuit Tax Summit last year. And, you know, it was really interesting. He was talking about other industries that have actually adopted this model. And my own doctor actually adopted this model several years ago, where it was subscription pricing. And, you know, if you didn't have health insurance, and what she was trying to do was kind of make an impact in, you know, the corruption of mm-hmm. the healthcare system, she was like, just yeah. pay me a monthly fee and I'll show up to the hospital. You'll still have to pay the hospital, but you won't have to pay me because we're in this together. I'm your healthcare professional and I'm going to be there for your life and we're partners and you pay me this and there won't be any surprises. So that makes you value the person more, I think. When I think mm-hmm. about my doctor, I do think about she's there for me and I don't worry. I mean, I do have insurance, so she definitely benefits from that, but I love the idea of that. So I think that's really interesting. And I think we're going to see more of that. What I've heard from people that have implemented that, like Don, is that they've seen their revenue just exponentially increase. And they're seeing so much higher client satisfaction. So everybody wins, right? Dawn wins because she can go in and coach softball. And the client wins mm-hmm. because they're not worried about calling her up when something comes up in their life and asking a question, because that's what's expected. And that really does, you know, change the whole relationship and the whole idea of what accounting services are.
Yeah, I think something like that might have been enough to keep me in public accounting. If we had actually been able to do that for more of our clients, instead of just paying lip service to providing great service and looking at the big picture, but actually having the bandwidth to do that. And that's what the relationship pricing is about.
It is. And I mean, you can't have the bandwidth unless you're charging the right amount, you know, the right fees, right?
Right. Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what about growth? Do firms even really need to grow? I mean, of course, we have to replace the clients who leave, right. but do they really need to strive to become the biggest all the time?
No. And that's the really crazy thing that's I'm seeing with firms, is that they're actually retracting. So when they adopt this type of model, or, you know, or even if they don't adopt this model, what I am seeing from both the people that are close to me and also from, you know, just general practitioners, they're starting to realize, no, I don't have to serve the whole world, and my time and the whole me, not just the accountant me, needs space to do that. And so, yes, certainly there are lots of firms that are out like grow, grow, grow. They're acquiring other firms. They're, you know, they're out to conquer the world. But a lot of other firms are really starting to say, no, I want to actually scale back my clients. I have a colleague that she was doing, I want to say she was doing like 2000, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 returns, tax practice, 1,000 to 2,000 returns a tax season. And she actually pared it down to 32 clients.
Wow.
32 clients that she works with, and she is happier than she's ever been. You know, and for her, what she found was churning out those tax returns was not giving her the satisfaction or, you know, the internal meaningfulness in her life. And now she has those relationships with those clients. She has more bandwidth. They value her because they get more of her. And it's just completely transformed not only her life, but her clients' lives. So no, yeah. I don't think that. I think growth is subjective. Are you growing money, you know, by the number of clients that you have, or are you growing professionally? Are you growing personally? Are you growing as a whole person? That is completely subjective. And while there's going to be people who are like, the more clients I get, the more successful I feel, others are going to say, the more impact I have on my clients, the more successful I feel.
That is so true. You know, I know that many firms, that many people I've talked to have talked about getting rid of the C and D clients.
Mm-hmm.
Not even mentioning the F clients.
Right. You know, because and I have
Of course you don't have any F clients, do you?
No, no. Well, I think also it comes down to, I mean, really what it comes down to is your values and who you are, right? So I think historically, when you go into practice, you take anybody, right? Like, I'm out here. Yes. I put my shingle out. I'm now an accountant. Please come in. I will do your books or your taxes or whatever. And you'll pretty much take anybody because you're building a business. And what we're learning is that doesn't work. So that doesn't work because that's how you get the D and F clients, right? Okay. Is because you just take everybody. So I think what's happening is, you know, thought leadership within the industry is saying you need to first figure out who you want to be as a practitioner and as a business and who you want to work with, and then target the, you know, target those people and only take the people that fit, you know, that client persona, as it were. So there's been a lot of talk about that. That's something that we really focus on in our Woodard coaching program, is finding, you know, who are you? Like, what does your life look like? What are you really good at? What are the things that you don't want to do? And what does an ideal client look like? And then if you're dealing with clients who aren't your ideal client, can they be coached into being an ideal client? Or are they somebody that just isn't a cultural good fit for you and your firm? And then how do you disengage and still protect the client, right? Because that's another thing with us, you know, with accountants, we have incredible empathy typically.
Oh, yes.
Right. With our clients, we care just as much about what's going on in their lives as they do. And so it's very difficult for us to disengage with a client because we feel like we're walking out on them. And emotionally, yeah, that's really hard. And we want to make sure that they're being taken care of. And so I think what I'm seeing is, you know, with the networks, right, in our community, we know somebody maybe that client would be a really good fit for. We can work together to find a good home for them, because there's all kinds of practitioners. So I think working together really helps that.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's poison might be somebody else's prize.
100%. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, back when you and I started out in accounting, there wasn't nearly as much technology. But today, technology takes care of a lot of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
What are the skills that accountants need to be successful today and in the future?
Problem solving, the ability to problem solve, number one. So if you have the ability to problem solve, that means your mind's open enough that you're able to look at not just facts and figures, but look at tools, resources, people, and pull them together to solve a problem. So it doesn't mean that you have to be a whiz at technology, but you have to be able to identify somebody who is a whiz at technology and direct your clients over there. You don't have to be the best, the person that's doing the tax representation for a client, but you have to know somebody who can deliver that to your client. So being a problem solver and understanding the needs of the client and having a big enough, network that you can pull in the people and the resources that you need to get the job done. That is what that to me is what a successful accountant now and in the future needs to look like. And the technological skills are helpful, but honestly, you can have great technology skills, but if you don't have people skills and those softer skills, that's going to be a problem too. So I really do feel the problem solving and understanding your own capabilities, your own core values, and having a wide net network of other really awesome professionals is what you need.
Yeah. And those soft skills are things that they're still not really teaching at the universities.
It's not part of the core curriculum, and it really needs to be.
Yeah, it's not part of the CPA exam. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing from a lot of people is the need to be more collaborative. So, we did have all those dreaded group projects in our courses, which really were an opportunity to learn those skills, but they weren't really presented as this is something you need to learn to do in the working world.
You know, what I would love to see in curriculum to be introduced into the schools is how to do a group project and actually couple that with the personality assessments of how people work into mm-hmm. the groups. So you take mm-hmm. your assessment, you're actually put in a group with the people with the different personality types and have them examine why things are working, why people, why things might not be working. Because I think if we solved that, people would be a lot happier. Number one, there'd be a lot less animosity and conflict, because if you understand why somebody's behaving a certain way or why they like to work in a certain way versus, or they struggle in another way, then the empathy is a little easier to flow, and you're not going to end up with as much conflict. So I think that there's a huge opportunity to, bring in the teachings of different authors that have tackled the group synergy and the different personality mm-hmm. types within the learning environment. They have those freshman courses like Writing 101 and things like mm-hmm. that. They should have group projects 101 where they actually talk about the different way that people work. And I think helping the students to understand themselves and what their strengths and their weaknesses are would also help them to do better in the academic.
Yeah. And I can see that as being a freshman core class, mm-hmm. something for every major, not just accounting.
Yeah.
Because if this was just an accounting specific course, then the professors would push back because they already have so much material to cover that they really struggle even trying to get their students to learn to use Excel.
They do. No, I agree. I think that it should be for everyone. I think that would be huge. Maybe it's out there, I don't know. But I think if I were in charge of education, director of education at a university, I would say everybody needs to go through one of those courses where they talk about the different types of learning and working in a group.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about the things that accountants should be doing. What are some things that accountants should stop doing immediately?
Oh my gosh, they should stop working 7 days a week. They should stop stop skipping family dinners, and they should stop, taking on clients that they know in their heart are probably not a good fit. So they should stop saying yes to everything. They need to really value their own personal time and their own space and you know, you gotta take care of you. And we're carrying, you know, as a profession, we not only carry the, you know, all the weight of what's going on in our lives, our families' lives, you know, our communities' lives, but we're also carrying the weight of what's happening in our clients' lives. And if you're not taking time for yourself to actually breathe and put goodness of, you know, the things that you love and make you shine, then how can you be putting any of that out? And so I would love to tell every accountant to go for a walk. Like, or if you don't like walking, you know, go watch TV, whatever it is that you love to do, make time to do it. It's okay. Like, the work's still going to be there. But stop saying yes to everything and start saying yes to yourself.
That's perfect advice. And especially coming from somebody who just bought a horse.
Yes.
Especially, I can tell that you have something that you love there.
I do. That was something that I wanted my whole life. And at the age of 50 something, I finally got my heart horse, and we are having a blast, and it fills me with joy. And it's another reason to go to work, right? Because I can have that. I can have that little treat, but mm-hmm. I love it. So, yeah.
Well, let you be an example to all of us. Now, accountants often know that they need to change. You know, Ron Baker has been talking about killing the billable hour for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people have talked about changing firm culture and changing the way that accountants come up in the world. But what are some of the blocks that keep accountants from changing?
Wow. I've been reading a lot about this lately. I've been reading a lot about it. I think some of it, honestly, is the way that our brains work. So I read a book recently, and I have to look at it because I'm one of those that I don't remember the titles of things. But I just read a book in over there, and it is, Thinking Fast and Slow. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thinking Fast and Slow. I just read that book, and I loved it because it talks about how our brains work and how we process information. And how, when we just go on autopilot the way we've always done it, we don't let the space for us to think about changing in any other way. So really, to make change in our lives, we have to stop doing what we've been doing before. And for a lot of people, that's really difficult to do. So one of the things I would say is a lot of accountants, especially accountants that have been just, you know, nose, and we're in the middle of tax season now, is taking time off. Taking a day to step outside and think about how things are, how things truly mm-hmm. are. And I think it starts with, you're sitting here right now, and what are you feeling? Right? And what are you feeling? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling disorganized? And then try to think about why, right? And once you understand, right. once you start looking at why you're feeling those feelings, now you've opened yourself up to the opportunity of accepting change, because you realize now this is a real problem or situation, right? And that there are things that you can do to make, you know, to make that different. So it comes down to, I know we were talking about Ron Baker and time, but it does come down to time, right? When we equate time mm-hmm. with money in one way, like saying, if I don't use the time to make money, just by making that decision that, you know, every hour of my day brings me wealth, turn that on its head, flip it on its head, right? Every hour mm-hmm. of the day that you commit to that billable hour, you're now giving up another piece of yourself. And we're not just accountants. We're not just our careers. We're like whole people. No. So I think with change, it's hard. Admitting to yourself that change is always hard. Most people don't like it. There are a few people that love it, but most people don't like it because what it means is you have to upend everything that you know, everything that you trust, and the things that you think work. And that's scary. It's terrifying because mm-hmm. you're taking a bet that something new is going to make your situation better. And most of the time it does.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking this morning that maybe another thing that keeps accountants from changing is that if they start doing things differently, then they're maybe admitting that the way that they have been doing things is bad, is not helpful. And so to have to go through that kind of mental change to admit that they were wrong, how that must be really difficult.
It must be really difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it really is, which is, yeah. No, and I've been there. I mean, I think we've all been there where you're like, oh, wow. I remember the first time I took a QuickBooks training and I learned about a feature in QuickBooks that literally changed how I did all of my year-end closes. And I was so excited. I'm like, wow, this is brand new. I'm so excited about this. And then I found out that it had been out for several years. That was hard. I'm like, whoa. And I'm like, if I had just opened my mind up a little bit early, I'm like, I think about all the time, but you can't think that way. Like, we're human beings.
Right.
Right. And, you know, you're trying to, we need to give ourselves grace and we need to give ourselves, you know, we need to be kind to ourselves and give ourselves some empathy and understanding of the fact that we're not perfect. No one is. And that we're doing the best that we can. And that it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. What matters is what you do today and tomorrow. And so don't beat yourself up over that. And yes, it may feel a little icky when you first look at it, but then when you look beyond it to where you're going, that's really what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's not a matter of, well, you know, apologizing to your team members that, yes, I'm sorry I've been treating you so badly, but who's going with me on this journey?
There's something freeing too about, you know, apologizing and owning it, right? Owning your mistakes. There's something incredibly freeing about it. You know, it sounds really hard and it's like this big wall that's in front of us. But as soon as you move through it, you realize it's not a wall, but a curtain, and you just had to move through it. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, like now I'm free of that heaviness that I was carrying around.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Now, client accounting services, client advisory services, whatever you want to call CAS, that's a really big thing right now. What do you think the next big thing in accounting will be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Wow. You win. Great question of the day. So CAS, it's funny. CAS, is it new? Is this new? No. We packaged it up into a little box with a ribbon on it and we call it CAS and we're like, this is new. It's really not new. Really what it is it's the And I'm gonna have people that are gonna hate me for saying this, but I'm okay with it. It's the full service bookkeeping services that bookkeepers, non-CPAs have provided to their clients, coupled with the advisory service, right? In CPA firms, right? That's what CAS, that's what I see is CAS, they're adopting that internal, we're going to now do the back office operations. We're going to do the outsource CFO thing. We're going to do the advisory and we're going to package up and call it CAS. So I get asked all the time, what's the difference between bookkeeping and CAS? And it's like, well, that's a tricky question because everybody does something different. Everybody had their own packages. Right. We're now throwing a label on and calling it something. So back to your question. what is the next big thing in accounting? Gosh, I think that we're going to see accounting go in a couple of different ways. I definitely think what I've seen some firms do is I think that services, professional services, are going to continue to be brought together into single firms. So we see firms like Sean Duncan's firm, SMD Consulting. He's got the CAS services, and now he's bringing in legal services, bringing in other professional services to give basically a one-stop shop for all the things, all of the kind of high level, I don't even want to say high level, the business services that businesses need under one roof. And I think there's a lot of benefits to that. There's huge benefits to that. One is as you know, there's been a constant disconnect, as long as I've been in practice, between the attorneys that advise our clients and the CPAs that advise our clients. And we are in this cycle of cleaning up after each other, right? Where a attorney advises your client to do something that has a tax implication, or a CPA advises a client to do something and the memo doesn't get to the attorney. So I really do feel like bringing that team together under one roof is actually a beautiful solution to that. So I think we're going to see more of that happen. I also feel like, what I hope will happen, and I'm not sure it will, is right now we're seeing the huge outsourcing out to, outsourcing outside of the country, right? Offshoring. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that some of that comes back into the US and that we're able to start creating an environment where we can have work done in the US by people that need those jobs and need those skills. So that's kind of my wish for the industry, is that we start to bring some of that in. Not that I have anything against, accounting being done in other places, but I also believe that there's people here that there's a huge opportunity for them right within the US. They just need the skills and the mentorship to actually, embrace that. So I think that's going to be hopefully something that comes back. And I don't know if that's a prediction or just a wish. And then I think that, we're going to continue to see niching with firms, as far as niching by industry, niching by, core competencies within a firm. I think that's going to be big. And I think we're also going to see a ton of what we've been doing, a lot of the compliance and data entry work, that's going to continue to become more and more automated to the point where we don't do any of it anymore. I think that's something that we're going to see in the next 10 years, easy, where we're just not going to need that anymore. It's all going to be advisory because machines are going to do it all.
Got my fingers crossed.
Right.
I'm with you on that. Didn't like data entry at all. And I'm glad that I don't have to do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't miss it.
No, I'm sure you don't. Well, I want to thank you, Heather, for taking the time to talk to me. Now, if listeners want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
Yes. So the best place, there's two places that you can reach out to me. The best place to reach out to me is hsatterley@woodard.com. So you can reach me there. You can also reach out to me at qbappyhour.com. That's for the happy hour with Liz and Heather. Either one of those, it depends on what you're looking for from me. So, but I would love to hear from everyone. Sure.
Perfect. Well, you have a wonderful afternoon, Heather. And I look forward to seeing you in person again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Liz, for having me. I really enjoyed our time together.
Oh, me too.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.